There is so much more than you have ever imagined which God can make known to you and do through you. But complacency will close the door to effectiveness because a complacent person is not available for God to use. I am listing some of the causes of complacency, listing them in order that you may be on guard against them. For it is possible for you to become satisfied with yourself and your situation. But God pronounces a woe upon those who exchange their ambition and vision for contentment and an unproductive lifestyle. We've already discussed three of the causes of complacency. First, you can have high goals in life and hitch your wagon to a star only to discover it is a falling star. You may have personal experience of that old adage that the best laid plans of mice and men oft go astray, and your disappointment may result in your settling for less than you can be for the Lord. That is the curse against which God warns you. Second, you can become discouraged when you lose privileges that you have enjoyed and have to take a lesser place in life. You may even give up any expectation that you might otherwise have and be content to remain with what you are, with your dreams lying in the dust. That is the curse against which God warns you to beware. Third, you may be assigned a task that is far below your abilities, being so overqualified that there is no challenge to be better than yourself. In such a state, complacency may set in. That is the curse against which God warns you to be on guard. Now, having reviewed those three causes of complacency, let us turn our attention to two other areas where we must guard ourselves. Keep your heart open for God to reveal if you're having a problem in any of these areas. Ask Him to teach you. Fourth, complacency may be caused by the approval of one's peers. That was what happened to Moses. He settled with a family in Midian that had no greater goal in life than to gain a livelihood by raising flocks of sheep or goats. He married a daughter of that family and became the shepherd over the family's flocks. Well, everyone seemed to be satisfied with that arrangement, and complacency settled the more firmly upon Moses' spirit. Zipporah, Moses' wife, was content with her husband. She'd married well above her estate. For imagine a girl of the desert being married to a prince of Egypt. Surely she was satisfied with her good fortune, and besides that, Moses had given her two sons. Now, in a society where the birth of a son was considered a gift from God, she was doubly blessed and completely satisfied. Moses' wife would not stir him out of his lethargy. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was content with his son-in-law. For Moses had become a good shepherd whose care over the flocks brought profit to Jethro. And Moses' great education enabled him to discuss philosophy or history or theology or other interesting subjects with Jethro. And besides that, Moses had given Jethro two fine grandsons to continue the family line. Yes, Jethro was pleased by his son-in-law. Moses would find no attempt from Jethro to change him. So there was no one to challenge Moses to be better than himself, no one to remind him of the great goal he once had to deliver his nation from her Egyptian oppressors. Everyone around Moses would encourage him to be content, and so the curse of complacency rested securely upon him. Years ago, I heard the challenge, "It is not enough to give God the best you are. You must give Him the best you can become." And that challenge has been a goad which has kept pricking me. I can never be satisfied with present accomplishments of whatever sort. There is so much more that needs to be done for the glory of God and the good of people made in the image of God. I cannot imagine any of God's children being complacent with the status quo. If you have surrendered to the inevitability of the present, get a vision of what the future can be. Ask of yourself, is this the best I can do for God? Is this the best God can do through me? And the answer will always be a resounding no. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Never be content with man's approval. Never be content when you're satisfied with yourself. Work until you have heard God's well done. Keep your eyes on Him, and you'll never become complacent. Fifth, complacency can be caused by a loss of vision. Moses tried to start what he felt was his great life's work, and that was commendable. The problem was he tried to do the right thing in the wrong way. He looked on his position in the palace and his power as a prince of Egypt as the key to his effectiveness in delivering the Hebrews, but he reckoned wrong. It was not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Moses tried and failed miserably. The would-be deliverer became a murderer, and the prince of Pharaoh's palace became a fugitive from Pharaoh's justice. His vision of being the deliverer of his people faded with every step he took into the desert as he fled from Egypt. Someone has observed, Moses set himself afire for God and burned to ashes within 24 hours. And so it was. The memory of that failure probably never left his mind. 40 years later, the Lord appeared to call him to that mission, but Moses drew back because he remembered his unsuccessful attempt 40 years before. Gideon was a mighty man of God, but he became great only after he met God personally and received a commission from God. Before that, he excused his fears and justified his inactivity because of personal inability. What a mistake. Spiritual victories are never accomplished in the strength of the flesh. The spiritual battles are won by spiritual powers which exercise spiritual strength. As God said through his prophet, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Now that means victory does not come by human skills, natural talents, or the strength of a crowd. Victory comes only by the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry into Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. He explained, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you." Now that is the secret, if indeed it is a secret, of spiritual power which brings spiritual victory. Please, do not lose a vision of God doing great things through you. If you feel inferior, just remember, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, ay, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. The problem is not with God's ability or God's willingness to use you. There is a problem, if there is a problem, with your availability for Him to use you. So please do not be complacent in your spiritual life. There is so much more than you have ever imagined which God can make known to you and do through you. But complacency closes the door to effectiveness because a complacent person is not available for God to use. I want to know and experience and do all that God desires for me. Don't you? I refuse to be satisfied with the status quo when God is moving onward in His great work in the world and invites me to be a part of it. I will guard against the causes of complacency, recognizing them as a curse, and will move on with the Lord. Oh, join me in that holy resolve. Father, please forgive us for being any bit less than we can be in Jesus. Help us to guard our spirits against complacency. We yearn to attain all that you planned for us when you chose us in Jesus Christ. So help us to move from where we are to where we should be, for we gladly make ourselves available to you in Jesus' name. Amen.